Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. I'm pretty sure we were just talking to Jamie Golombek about year-end tax tips maybe, what, 3 weeks ago or
something
a month
like
ago?
Yeah, last month.
Yeah. Well, guess what? We got to talk about tax again and tax strategies for the beginning of the year.
There are strategies at the beginning of the year you can take?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it's all kinds of. Tax never ends.
It never ends.
Jamie, welcome to the show.
Pleasure.
We're joined by Jamie Golombek. He's a managing director, tax and estate planning, CIBC financial planning and advice. Okay, so there's a bunch of stuff. I mean, tax never ends, as I said, Jamie. We'll, you know, we can talk about that. But I think we want to do a quick piece on helping people understand that different kinds of investments have different tax rates or different approaches to tax. And I was hoping that you might maybe just start this segment with a bit of a review for people about what type of tax is attracted by different types of investments.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we're really talking about investing for the most part in non-registered accounts because right. if you've got room in your RSPs or TFSA or kids RESP, of course, any type of income there will be completely tax sheltered, in some cases completely tax-free in the TFSA. So what we're really talking about, of course, is once you've done the RSPs and the TFSAs and paid for those kids' education, then you look at your non-registered account and you say, how can I be more tax efficient when it comes to non-registered investing? And the truth is that the type of income that you earn actually determines how much tax you pay. So, for example, you're investing in plain vanilla GICs, you're earning interest income, and that interest income is fully taxable at whatever your marginal tax rate is. So no tax breaks on interest income, GICs, savings accounts, bank accounts, high interest savings accounts, bonds, T-bills, it's all completely taxable. But then we get into something more interesting. If you start to invest some of your money in equities, either directly, let's say, in shares of Canadian companies, or maybe through mutual funds that indirectly invest in shares of Canadian companies, you can earn dividend income. And the nice thing about the dividend income is that you get the dividend tax credit. And the dividend tax credit significantly reduces the amount of tax you end up paying on those dividend income to allow for the fact that the corporations that are paying you that dividend have already paid corporate tax on that dividend income. But it gets even better, because if you invest in, let's say, securities like those stocks or even bonds, but they go up in value and you sell them at a profit, that is a capital gain. And that is the best form of income or investment income to have, because capital gains are only 50% taxable. So no matter what your tax bracket is, if you invest in a capital gain and you realize that in a particular year, you will only pay 50% of the tax you otherwise would have paid if that same return was invested in GICs, bonds, earning interest income.
Jamie, that you mentioned about capital gains, it came to my mind that we were talking, I think you were here in Calgary late last year, and you kind of gave me a heads up about what was on the table during the campaigns, especially by the NDP, to change how much tax a person pays on a capital gain. Do you think that's going to go through in 2020?
You know, it's hard to say. With the government, you never know what's going to happen. So basically, there was a proposal, of course, by the NDP to increase the inclusion rate on capital gains. So right now, only 50% of capital gains are taxable. The NDP said if they were elected, presumably as a majority, they would have introduced a rule that would include 75% of a capital gain in your income. That's a 50% increase, right? 50% mm-hmm. more than 50% is 75%. Now, of course, we have a minority government, which is more complicated, because the Liberals certainly didn't campaign on a 75% inclusion, right? That being said, you know, do they need to raise money? Yes. Do they like to tax higher income Canadians? Well, we know that because of the increases in the tax rates for the highest income Canadians across Canada federally. Are they looking to maybe please a minority NDP? Maybe. So I think there's a lot of politics to play in this, so I'm not going to be the one to say it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. But I think that being said, there is some concern and some speculation among some analysts that if there ever was a time that the government would look to increase the inclusion rate, even if it's just temporarily for a few years or so to raise revenue, this might be the time, which means that could happen perhaps as soon as a federal budget, which generally happens in February.
Okay.
Yeah, that was fun. Okay, another question. It keeps on coming up. Is it better to invest in RSPs or TFSAs? We're getting into RSP season now. People are saying, let's not go into this RSP thing because they tax us when we take the money out. Tax-free savings accounts, of course, tax-free when you take the money out. You've done some analysis. You pounded the stage when you were here in Calgary about which one's better. Let's get your opinion on that again.
Well, it all comes down to your tax rates. You see, if your tax rate today, let's say you're in a 30% tax bracket, and it's always going to be the same. So when you retire, you'll have more or less the same income, 30% tax bracket. You can flip a coin because it really doesn't matter. TFSAs equal RSPs. We've done the math. We've got lots of material we're happy to refer you to. However, for most Canadians, not everyone, but for most Canadians, they are in a lower bracket when they retire for the simple reason is they don't have any more employment income, or they stop working, or they downsize the amount of work that they do, maybe they're doing some consulting. In that case, I would argue that if you're in a high bracket when you're working and a low bracket when you retire, RSPs will win out because when you take the money out, you're going to pay a lower rate of tax. On the other hand, someone who's just starting their first job, someone in a low tax bracket, and here what I'm talking about, someone making, let's say, under $40,000, $45,000 a year or so, probably best to do the TFSA first because the RSP room, just like the TFSA room, will always be carried forward. But why not pay tax at the lowest rate you could possibly be at today? And then later on, if you ever get into a higher rate and you need the money, you will be able to take the money out of a TFSA without any tax at all. The one differentiating thing, and then this is something that we would include in our determination, is that when you withdraw money from an RSP or even from a RIF, that's income. And therefore, any income-tested government benefits, things like GIS, OAS, the H credit, GST credit, things like that, those are all income-tested. Whereas if you take money out of a TFSA, there is no impact on income, and therefore you do not lose any government benefits. So when doing that calculation of which to do, RSPs or TFSAs, we would include in that calculation an effective rate of losing a government benefit. And when we decide at what our RSP rate would be on a withdrawal.
All right, we're going into 2020 now. We've got the year ahead of us. Let's give us some ideas or some tax tips that we should be prepared for going right through to 2020.
Well, not a lot of changes for 2020. We have a small indexation of the federal brackets up 1.9%. So we have income up to about $48,000 at 15%. Then we go up to all the way to the top bracket, which now kicks in federally at $214,000. That's at 29%. Anything above that at 33%, above $214,000. Of course, Alberta rates on top of that. Small changes to CPP and EI, not a lot there, not that that's material. Probably the biggest change for 2020 is the increase in the basic personal amount. And that's the amount that every Canadian can receive completely tax-free. So typically speaking, that number originally was going to be around $12,000. What they have done instead is they have now introduced a new enhanced basic personal amount for most people, not everyone, but for most people. So effectively, for the year 2020, the new basic personal amount will actually be $13,229, but it will not be available to everyone because they wanted to basically make sure that wealthy individuals do not get this benefit, which means that if your income this year is more than $150,000, which is the bottom of the fourth tax bracket, and all the way up to about $214,000, you start to reduce on a straight line basis the amount of credit you get, such that if you make over $214,000, you do not get that additional enhanced credit. So again, to be clear, everyone gets the basic personal amount. No changes there. That'll be about $12,300. But to get that additional $1,000, your income must be below $150,000 in 2020.
Jamie, I want to thank you for taking some time with us. Get us all pointed in the right direction at the beginning of 2020.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. We've been joined by Jamie Golombek, Managing Director, Tax and Estate Planning, CIBC Financial Planning and Advice. We got to make all this make sense, and we got to work it into an income plan that can support our lifestyle, and we're going to do that at our next seminar.
Yeah, tax is probably the biggest expense you will pay throughout your retirement. How do you bulletproof your retirement and reduce taxes? We're going to talk about that on Tuesday, January 21st, 7 p.m. at the Hamptons Golf Course. You need to reserve your seats. Give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Are you thinking about whether you should be adding to or taking away from stocks in your portfolio? Well, stick around after the break and we're going to talk about that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.